You'll have all the information in the world, but it's still going to take a human to make those judgment calls and decisions. And that's what we need to make sure we're getting people ready to do.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Future Proof. I'm your host, Bill Sheridan. Kind of a milestone this week, too. Episode number 53. That means we've officially entered year number 2. Yep, we're still here. Not going anywhere either, from the looks of it. More people are listening than ever, which is really cool, and which means hopefully that more people are becoming just a bit more future ready than ever. Our podcasts have been downloaded almost 18,000 times in the past year, which in the great scheme of things might not be a whole lot, but for our little show, I'll take it. And check this out. This is cool. We've had listeners from 72 different countries. That's really cool, including our first listener in Trinidad and Tobago. So welcome, Trinidad and Tobago. See, world domination. That's our goal here at Future Proof. Just a quick note here to say that this week's podcast is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So over the past year, we've spent a lot of time talking about how the accounting and finance profession is changing, transforming in a lot of ways. Haven't spent nearly as much time talking about how those who regulate our profession are changing. So my goal was to take a first stab at that by inviting onto the show Terry Poley. Terry is president and CEO of the Financial Accounting Foundation. The FAF, or FAF, is an independent, not-for-profit private sector organization that's responsible for overseeing the Financial Accounting Standards Board, or FASB, and the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, or GASB. So I did. I invited Terry on the show. We had a great conversation, and then damn my luck, 3 days after our interview, Terry announced that she would be resigning from her position after spending the last 11 years at the helm of FAF. No date has been officially set for the end of Poley's term. She did say she plans to stay on the job until transition plans for her position have been finalized, and the exact reasons for her departure are not completely clear, although they seem to coincide with other notable departures among the profession's regulators. Here's how Accounting Today's Michael Cohn puts it. He writes, quote, "She is one of many longtime leaders at the FAF, FASB, and GASB who are leaving their roles in the year ahead, echoing a shakeup last year at the accounting firm overseer, the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board. Besides a successor for Poley, the FAF's Board of Trustees is also searching for new leaders at FASB and GASB, with the terms of FASB Chairman Russell Golden and GASB Chairman David Vaught set to end on June 30th, 2020. FAF Chairman Charles Noski's term was due to end last December, but he agreed to stay on until the end of this year to help search for successors for Golden and Vaught, and now will be helping with Poley's transition. In the meantime, the FAF Board of Trustees, in accordance with an existing succession plan, has named Vice President and General Counsel John Auchincloss as Acting President of the FAF. He will serve until a permanent replacement for Poley is named," end quote there. Also, FAF spokesman Matthew Broder chimed in. He had this to say to Accounting Today. He said, quote, "Unlike FASB, GASB members and our trustees, the FAF CEO does not work on a specific time-bound term of office. Terry's reason for stepping down was outlined in an internal mail. It's a timing thing, essentially. As you know, the FAF chairman, FASB chairman, and GASB chairman are all leaving office in the next 14 months. Terry's view is that she could leave now alongside these other departures so that the trustees can hire a long-term successor to serve with the other new appointees, or she could see these other appointments through, stay on another 2 or 3 years beyond that to help them establish themselves and then step down. She's already accomplished much of what she set out to do when she got the top job in 2008. So she opted to give the trustees the opportunity to build the new management team in an integrated way, end quote. And in a separate statement, Poli had this to say. She says, quote, "It has been a privilege to work for a mission-driven organization filled with exceptional people who get to do something extraordinary as their life's work, set accounting standards that help make the capital markets function efficiently and effectively," end quote. So it turns out my interview isn't with the president and CEO of FAF after all, but rather with the outgoing president and CEO. But that's okay. We had a great talk anyway. And really, I just wanted to get kind of a lay of the land from a regulatory perspective. How is all of this change and complexity impacting how they do their job and how things are changing for them and what the future of the profession looks like from their perspective? And Poli touched on all of that during our conversation. So it was, in retrospect, a treat in a way to be able to speak with her before she officially steps down. And I'm glad we had a chance to get together and have that chat. So, without further ado, here is Terry Poli.
So, Terry, thanks so much for being here today. I appreciate your time. I guess my first question is, explain to me what FAF is, what it is, and what is its role? What are you guys tasked to do there?
Right. That's a great question. And it's funny because a lot of people have heard about the FASB and the GASB, but they have not heard about the FAF or the Financial Accounting Foundation. Their role is to essentially provide for the funding, make the appointments of, conduct oversight of the FASB and GASB to ensure that the FASB and GASB have the most qualified people who are on the boards, setting those accounting standards, making sure they have the funding to appropriately resource themselves. And then importantly, through the Board of Trustees, which is our governing body, they oversee the FASB and the GASB standard setting process. Important to note that the Financial Accounting Foundation itself does not set accounting standards, but they do oversee both boards to make sure that they're following a robust and comprehensive standard setting process.
Got it. And so again, you're not setting standards at FAF, but you're providing FASB and GASB with the resources that they need to do a good job of setting those high quality standards.
That's right. So and by resources, it's ensuring they have appropriate funding. And then the FAF also provides strategic counsel and some of the support services that you might think of, like communication, public affairs, things like that, to make sure that the boards have the appropriate kind of support services that they need so that they can focus on standard setting.
And so one of the things that we've been spending a lot of time talking with our members about is the exponential rate of change, particularly when it comes to technology, how fast things are just moving from a technological point of view and what they can do to kind of not necessarily keep up, but wrap their arms around that and understand what's coming next. And I'm just kind of curious how FAF is viewing that rate of change of technology when it comes to the work that FASB and GASB does. How are you kind of upgrading the technology that they use to make sure that they're up to date, that they're making the best use of the technology that's currently available?
Yeah, and you're right. I think these changes are exponential. They're really hard to stay current with. But I'd say over the last, 3 to 4 years, we have been significantly focused on technology. And it covers a few different aspects of the organization. And one is just our own internal processes. So trying to think about how can we update and modernize our systems to facilitate the FASB's and the GASB's internal processes. So moving memos through the system and documents and creating the documents that ultimately become the standards. And also aspects of that would include outreach to stakeholders. So, for example, FASB may issue an exposure draft and get 500 comment letters. You know, in the old days, you'd read 500 comment letters manually and distribute paper copies of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you staff who are going through each line to analyze them. But now with the assistance of technology, we have a much more streamlined method of reviewing the comment letters. We still read them, of course, but we do have a way of compiling the data and pulling it into a form that makes the analysis of the responses much easier for the FASB and the GASB to understand and then think about it as they move along in the standard setting process. So that's one aspect. Another one is our publishing system. We issue the standards and then they're on our website or other, you can get them other places for consumption by our stakeholders. The FASB codification platform is about 10 years old. And so we're currently in a very big transformation project to bring that system up to date. And we're also bringing the GASB up to date so that they're both on a common platform. Right now, they're on two different platforms, which makes maintenance and upkeep much more expensive. So we're working to make sure that the actual standards themselves are delivered in a way that it's easy for people to use and access, search, et cetera. And then I think one other aspect that is critical is what are the changes in technology? What are the implications for financial reporting and just information that users use? You know, just it goes beyond then just the 10K, the 10Q, or the annual report. There's an almost constant availability of financial information, and the FASB has begun to think about how does that impact standard setting and financial reporting more broadly, and how would they think about that in terms of things like setting their agenda and thinking about what issues to deal with?
Yeah. And beyond, I guess, the technology that you're using, and more in general, so I'm thinking about what's going to be happening going forward. And this stuff just seems to hit us faster and with bigger changes than ever before. You know, right now we're talking about things like blockchain, artificial intelligence, quantum computing, and all these things that are moving so fast. And it seems like they're moving faster than regulatory bodies like the GASB and FASB, than their ability to grasp and understand and figure out, okay, how should we be responding to these things? I guess I'm wondering, how are you at FAF helping the folks at GASB and FASB address that pace of change and help them stay at least close to being at the same pace? Or, I mean, it just seems like that has to be a really difficult thing for you to do, to move as fast as you need to address a lot of these new issues that are rising every day.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I guess what I would observe is that we as an organization have always had to deal with change. You know, we would sometimes joke that the FASB issues a standard and then 2 weeks later, some financial genius figures out a way to create a thing, some kind of an instrument that can get around the rules of the standard that was just issued.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pace of change, obviously, this is a different kind of change, and the pace of change, I think, is much faster, and the implications are much broader. And these are the kinds of discussions that the FAF Board of Trustees and the FASB and the GASB members have at their quarterly meetings together, you know, to talk about what are some of the what are the things that are happening outside these four walls in Norwalk that impact or could impact how we do what we do. The FASB, for example, has a study to understand how financial reporting technology is being used by companies and investors and how it might evolve. And that will help inform the FASB as to, you know, what should they do in response to that. If anything, you know, it may have implications for standard setting. It may not have implications for standard setting. But I think it's important that we all stay current and I don't mean keeping up with necessarily, because you can't, but understanding what's happening externally, so that you don't have your head in the sand, that you are understanding the changes that are happening and thinking about and talking with others about what are the implications.
Are we able to move fast enough at this point, do you think? It just seems like things are just so dizzying. From where you sit, are we moving fast enough?
I think that's a tough question. I think in some areas you need to give the system some time to sort it out. So, for example, you mentioned blockchain, and I think there's still a lot of questions and misinformation about blockchain or Bitcoin or what have you. And in some ways, you need to let some of these things mature,
right?
Because you also don't want to overreact. You need to. In some ways, I think, and this is going to sound contradictory, but you have to take the long view on some of these things, while not having your head in the sand about.
Yeah, it seems like with blockchain that it's really high on the hype curve right now, but there seem to be very few solid case studies of it actually, you know, in play, at least when it comes to our profession. It seems like a lot of people are talking about the potential, but we haven't really seen that play out yet.
Right. And I've been to a couple of conferences where one of the sessions might have been on blockchain, and I've gone because I have just have a hard time getting my head around it.
Right.
And on it, on the face of it, it sounds like a great technology and something that would certainly have a lot of uses in the financial arena. But on the other hand, what I still also have trouble getting my head around is how it's not hackable. You know, because you just hear about how everything is subject to privacy intrusion or what have you. So anyway, these are like the types of things that I think we need to continue to try to discern and learn about, and then figure out how does it impact standards and how does it impact financial reporting, so that we're not left in the dust, that we are keeping up with what's happening in the financial reporting system.
Yeah, it's a really interesting time. And given all these changes that we've been seeing, and from your kind of unique position there with FAF, how do you see the accounting profession having changed or continuing to change? What's different about what we do these days?
Well, one of the things that I think really helps us monitor what's going on in the accounting profession is how we staff. We have two programs. One is we call it a postgraduate technical assistant program, where we have groups of accounting students. Essentially, once they've graduated, once they have their master's in accounting, they come here and spend a year with us, work on FASB or GASB projects, and then typically go to a firm, one of the big firms.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that helps keep us up to date in some ways about what's happening. You know, how are students learning these days? What are they learning? What are the cutting edge topics that they're learning about, and helping us to think about how the profession is being shaped. Mm-hmm. And also we have a fellow program. So this is higher level people who usually managers or senior managers who come from the firms or industry, they could come from companies as well. And so that keeps us aware of how is the profession changing? How are audits changing? Relationships that we have with stakeholders also. So, for example, in the FASB's case, ongoing interactions and communications with the PCAOB to understand what are the types of issues that the PCAOB is seeing in its review of audits and the types of issues that are coming up. And then just the types of outreach that we do with conferences and speeches and things like that. So really sort of keeping our finger on the pulse of what's happening out there. I mean, I think what we're seeing is, for example, the PTA program, these young people are incredibly bright, incredibly fluent in technology. They grew up with it, and they end up teaching us,
right.
You know, how to use it and how it can help. So there certainly is enough going on out there, and it's exciting. It's exciting.
It is kind of exciting to be here at this time and be a part of, because in a certain way, it feels like, you know, the blueprint for the future of our profession is being built almost in real time, which is
right.
Amazing. And you mentioned the young folks that you're working with and some of the skills that they bring to the table. And you know, we frequently talk with accounting and finance pros about the skills that they're going to need to remain relevant in a world that's changing as quickly as this one. What about the regulators and standard setters that you work with? What kind of skills do you think they're going to need to keep pace going forward?
Well, I mean, I think that one of the things that's never going to go out of style, that's always going to be important regardless of technology, are things like strategic thinking, critical thinking, communication skills, writing skills. You know, I think we sort of went through a period, and I'm talking more broad than just the accounting profession, but where writing skills, for example, seem to have been downplayed in the educational system. Communication skills seem to have been downplayed in the educational system. So I think it's going to be critical for accounting professionals to continue to have those skills. There's never going to be, in my opinion, there's never going to be a substitute for good judgment when you're an accounting professional. Ultimately, the numbers are the numbers, but you need accounting standards requires you to make judgments about things, and you're going to need to be able to think about the information that you have and then make an appropriate judgment or decision based on the information that you have. And technology can be very helpful there, but ultimately, let's hope it's still a human being that's going to be making the decisions, running the organizations, investing in the companies. You know, I know there's a lot of machines that invest as well, but right. You're going to still need those critical skills.
More along the lines of augmenting what the machines do,
right?
Instead of being replaced by them. Yeah, we keep hearing a lot about that as well in terms of, you know, learning new skills that are going to allow us to work with the machines. And that's kind of an opportunity, right? A lot of people see automation as something scary that's going to destroy jobs or something to be afraid of. And really, if you look at it the right way, it can be almost freeing in that it allows you to spend your time doing higher level work that adds more value.
That's right. That's right. And if you think about things like the audit profession and how the audit profession is no doubt helped tremendously by technology and flagging areas that perhaps humans wouldn't have thought to look more closely at, but it still is ultimately a human judgment to dig into the details and decide if there's anything there that needs to be pursued.
Yep.
So you can't substitute the human element.
So I ask this of a lot of folks who are on the show, and I'm just kind of curious from your seat, what keeps you up at night? What is top of mind for you these days?
Well, I think it's really many of the themes that we talked about, which is what is the future going to look like and how can we be best prepared to meet that future? One of the things that we have going on right now is that the terms of both the FASB and the GASB chairs are ending in June of 2020. So a little over a year from now, we're going to have a big leadership transition. And so we have just commenced the search process for candidates for those two roles. I think what's going to be critical there is to make sure we get the right people in those roles who can essentially shepherd the process. Safeguard independent standard setting, making sure that we continue to set high quality standards that result in good, useful information for investors. But in some ways, because of some of the things we've been talking about how quickly things are changing, it may require people to be a little bit more visionary in how should we be thinking about making sure that we remain relevant and that the standards that we issue remain relevant and up to date and they keep pace with the changes in the financial reporting system. So it's again, it's finding the right people for the right roles, and that's a challenge. We're always looking for people who are passionate about the mission, who are good accountants, but also some of those other skills that I was talking about. You know, the communication skills, the critical thinking skills, and people who sort of really understand the global environment, the global financial reporting environment to inform what we do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What issues are you paying attention to these days outside of the ones that we've already been talking about, which seem to be top of mind for everybody with excuse me, with good reason? What else has got your attention? What issues are on the horizon that you're paying particular attention to these days?
Well, one of the things that we always worry about are threats to the independent standard setting process. Hmm. And by that, I mostly mean political threats. So if people are unhappy, for example, with a standard, they may try to engage with legislators to get involved with standard setting and or create some method where the FASB or the GASB would no longer be independent. So that's an area that, mm-hmm. that we are always having to keep an eye on. And not because we think it's not appropriate for stakeholders to have a particular point of view, but certainly we have a very broad process that allows people to engage actively, provide their feedback, and understand how the board has come to its decisions. But we just worry about if there's, for example, legislation that would put limits on the independence of the boards. Then, in some ways, then you won't have neutral. You won't have standards that neutrally reflect the underlying economics of a transaction, which is really what we're trying to get at the core.
Right, right. Yeah, that does strike me as something that would be particularly challenging these days. What do you think CPAs, our members, accounting and finance pros, should know about FAF and the work that you guys do that they don't?
That's a really good question. I think what's important for people to know about the FAF is that we are there to help protect the independence of the standard setting process, but also through the Board of Trustees to make sure that, on the other hand, what we say is independence must be earned. Mm-hmm. And the FAF Board of Trustees, through its oversight, and again, like I mentioned at the beginning, the FAF does not get involved in the technicalities of the accounting standards. They are not supposed to, and they do not.
Right.
So that the FASB and the GASB can set standards independently, but to help ensure, again, that the processes are comprehensive, that they're robust, that stakeholders have adequate opportunities to engage and comment and dialogue with the boards about the proposals, et cetera. So in other words, I think it's not just that we say independent standard setting must be preserved at all costs. It's that independent standard setting must be preserved, but we recognize that we earn that right, and we try to earn that right by ensuring that the FASB and the GASB follow robust processes, and that people can have confidence that the boards are addressing the accounting issues with high integrity and in a neutral way.
So we work with a futurist. His name is Daniel Burris, who talks about this notion of hard trends. He calls them future facts, things that we know are actually going to happen, and trying to base our strategies around those certainties, right? And one of the hard trends that he points to that's impacting our profession is increased legislation and regulation, and that it will continue to come at us faster than before, be more impactful than ever before. I'm curious what your thoughts are on standards and regulations as a hard trend, as a future fact, and do you see the role that the standard setters play increasing in importance and becoming more complex as time goes on?
So let me answer the back end of that question first about complexity. I think complexity is only going to increase, and in some ways, the complexity of the job we do is in some ways driven by the complexity of the transactions that the FASB and the GASB are creating accounting standards for. So in other words, the FASB and the GASB are not trying to create complexity, but if you have a complex transaction, chances are you're going to have a complex accounting standard.
Sure.
I think in terms of legislation and regulation, that's an interesting question because in some ways, for example, the current administration is, I don't know how they describe it, but these are my words, like anti-regulation, right? Mm-hmm. So I think when President Trump first came in office, he said something like, for every new regulation, you have to take away two. I don't know if that's factually correct, but it's directionally correct.
Right.
So I would say we haven't seen a whole lot in terms of more regulatory complexity. And I think it's sort of that's the sort of thing that's going to depend on the administration, you know, and what administration is in charge and what are the priorities of that administration. I don't think that we have seen, we sort of go in these ups and downs. You know, there might be cycles where there's more interest in Congress and what we're doing, and then cycles where there's less interest in Congress. I don't really see anything in particular that might be driving more legislation or regulation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess it all depends on what's happening in this particular environment and what's going to be happening in the next one
and what the priorities are, right?
How that all plays out.
And I think one important thing to emphasize is that we work really hard at making sure, for example, members of Congress, like you talked about strategy. That members of Congress are informed and educated about what goes on here in Norwalk so that when they do get the call from their constituent saying, hey, you wouldn't believe this accounting standard that just came out, they'll say, oh, yeah, you know what? We talked with the FASB and we understand what that accounting standard is trying to do. Or they'll say, you know what? We know the folks in Norwalk. Let's pick up the phone and give them a call or let's see if we can get somebody down here to explain. So I think there's no substitute for that one-to-one relationship so that people know if they do have a question about an accounting standard, they know that we're the experts and that they can come to us and we will readily share that information.
So Terry, one of the things that we spend a lot of time talking about with our members is this notion of becoming future ready. So what do we as leaders of this profession today, what do we need to be doing today to help our members, our organizations, the people that we do business with, be ready to take that next step and become future ready tomorrow?
I think it's critical that we all focus on developing the next generation of leaders. And some of the ways we do that, certainly here at the FAF, the FASB, and the GASB, is by mentoring some of the younger professionals, providing them with growth opportunities. I had mentioned the postgraduate technical assistant program. Giving them the opportunity to make a presentation to the board is a great experience for them and something that they will carry through their career. But I think making sure that they have the skills they need and again, fostering some of the things we talked about, whether it's good communication skills or critical thinking skills, engaging with stakeholders, learning to listen. One of the key things that's important to standard setting is listening to stakeholders. So all of those things, I think, can help promote and foster the development of the next generation of leaders.
It's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, as much time as we spend about all these kind of future-focused topics and things like that, that a lot of the things that are going to make us future-ready are pretty foundational, you know, making sure that we've got the right leaders in place to move us into the future.
I think that's right. It comes back to that whole issue of human judgment. You'll have all the information in the world, but it's still going to take a human to make those judgment calls and decisions. And that's what we need to make sure we're getting people ready to do.
Mm-hmm. From where you're sitting there in Norwalk, what does the future of this profession look like to you?
Well, I think based on the the quality of the people that we see through coming through our doors every day, and whether it's stakeholders that we're meeting with or our own staff. You know how I had mentioned the staff that come through as a rotating basis. It's very positive. Smart people, technically savvy people, and I think you're going to always. You know, you're always going to need an accountant. You know, technology only goes so far. And ultimately, as we talked about earlier, you need someone who's going to help you to critically understand the information that the technology provides you. And I think that's a key area of focus for the profession and how the accountant adds value.
Well, Terry, Pauly, thank you so much for the time. I know how busy you are, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and for your insights today. Thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Terry Pauly, outgoing president and CEO of the Financial Accounting Foundation. You can keep an eye on all of the new personnel moves that are being made at FAF, FASB, and GASB by checking out accountingfoundation.org. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's future-ready learning framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. We're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning. That's it, gang. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.